This episode is sponsored by Jimmy Beam's Wool. They have the fastest shipping around, great customer support and interaction, and the best Tosh selection. You love yarn? So does Jimmy Beam's Wool. They pride themselves on having the fastest shipping in the West. No, they really do, with the best customer service. Shipping 7 days a week, you'll have your yarn in your mailbox quicker than you can cast on your stitches. Okay, that might be a slight exaggeration, but the point is you'll have your yarn lickety-stitch. They wrote lickety-stitch. Casey, you just ordered from them, didn't you?
I think it's been a little while, but they had a Madeline Tosh grab bag where you got, you basically just kind of told them, I like blues or whatever. And I got these three beautiful skeins of Madeline Tosh, and I'm about to create a sweater from the newest issue of Pom Pom. So I can't wait.
They have a beautiful website. Mm-hmm. I've ordered from them and they do ship lickety-stitch. I can, that is true. Reaching them is easy. You can call, email, or live chat with them 7 days a week. They're always happy to help with questions you might have, from color and yarn selection to customer support inquiries. And did we mention that they love Madeline Tosh? Yeah, we did.
Because we did.
Love is an understatement for the feelings they have about Tosh. We can't get enough of the magnificent color combinations and squishy fiber goodness. If you're like us, you like options, our massive selection of Tosh yarn is sure to provide you with endless project knitspiration. Knitspiration. This is fun.
Their website is fun too. Like they have, I was looking at yarn and I was trying to filter it down, and they have all these fun little categories. Like you want something sparkly, or, you know, just different ways of describing the yarn that you couldn't otherwise think of.
They're a great online yarn store. The website's beautiful. Visit jimmybeanswool.com for more, and we will have that link in the show notes.
Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hello.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. And the show notes for this episode are available on my website. If you go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for show notes for episode 90.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I look at you, every time I say the episode number, I always look at you like, can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
Episode 90.
We might have to have a 100th episode party.
We're already talking about my 50th birthday party. How can we manage all these parties in April? It's going to be in April, isn't it?
Maybe not. Maybe.
Maybe we'll combine the two.
Yeah.
My 50th birthday party.
100 podcasts. That's
funny. Yeah. Okay. Well, more ideas.
Put it on the idea list.
But I actually have this idea list that I'm starting here on this piece of paper. Okay. you went on a trip.
Yes.
And you had a nice time.
Yes.
And where was this trip?
We went to Bermuda.
And what did you do on this trip in Bermuda?
I went to a yarn shop.
Thank you for playing along. That's what you went to a yarn shop in Bermuda and talked to the folks there.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, everywhere you go, you want to see if there's a yarn shop or some knitting kind of thing there. But we were going for spring break to go scuba diving. And I thought, I wonder if people have knit in Bermuda in these tropical kind of places. It's not really technically tropical, I guess. But, you know, it's always 70 degrees. It's an island. What do people do there? So I decided to find out.
Okay, let's listen.
Okay, well, we're in the middle of Bermuda in the city of Hamilton, and this is the Black Pearl. And my name is Cindy Ashton. I'm the owner of Black Pearl, and I opened the shop up a little over a year ago. I needed something to do after retirement. The retirement was fun, but you know, it's just nice to keep busy. So a couple of years ago, well, maybe about 6 or 8 years ago, my niece had opened up a yarn shop in Hamilton called the Black Pearl. It was open for about 2 years, and I got back into knitting back then when she opened the shop. But then she closed it and went back into nursing because, you know, they have young children in school and the shop wasn't paying the school bills. So a few years later, I decided this is what we need to do, is have a nice yarn shop. And I've got a wonderful group of customers, friends, beginners, advanced knitters, all kinds of gals that come in, and guys,
yeah,
and children. Great. Who come in to buy their yarn or take lessons. Mm-hmm. And we all say that we're always learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something new to learn all the time.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I am definitely not an advanced knitter. I am intermediate.
Yeah.
And Elvie, who was just here, is our instructor, and she's always teaching us. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So it's a great place for people to gather.
Is there a tradition of knitting in Bermuda? Did it come from England or no? Or
Well, I would say a lot of the older women, of mm-hmm. course, they come in and they ask for four-ply yarn and, mm-hmm. and the patterns, and they were always used to knitting with the English wool,
mm-hmm.
and things have changed.
Yeah.
And you know, some of these ladies, they'll come in and say, what kind of patterns have you got? And it's, well, we look at the internet now. So right. That's something new for them. And bamboo needles and the circular needles, they're all like, oh, this is something new.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah, which is great. So, like I said, I get a variety of people here, young, old.
Mm-hmm.
They're all getting into it, and they're finding it's such a comfortable spot to sit and congregate,
yeah.
and share ideas, show off their handiwork,
right.
And then we'll post it on Instagram or Facebook, and
yeah.
you know, they feel like a celebrity.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that you don't wear a lot of sweaters, or do you call them jumpers?
Well, Karis is English, and she calls them jumpers. I am American. I call them sweaters. I'm not sure about Jillian. Jillian's from Chile.
I'm from all over the place.
All over the place.
Sweaters.
Sweaters, yes.
That's a big yeah. joke with some of our listeners.
Right, and it's wool or yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's it, yeah.
Yes, I didn't want to call it a wool shop because that makes me feel that it would have been a sweater shop. We only have one other yarn shop in Bermuda, and that's in St. George.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to have a central
yeah.
location. Yeah, and nice quality yarn
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So do you have yarn reps come visit you, or
no.
do you have to just order it all?
No, I haven't had one rep call me.
That's
no.
crazy.
I did have somebody recently wrote to me and said, gee, we really want to include you on our website. And I thought, okay, this is the start. I hope this is really good. No, I do go out to the distributors and some people, I guess the more independent dyers,
mm-hmm.
some of them don't have enough to spread around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, hopefully they will.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we are hand dyeing yarn here in Bermuda now.
Oh, great.
So we call it Sheep Wrecked
mm-hmm.
in Bermuda. It's hand dyed on the rock, so
oh,
to
great.
Speak. And it's one of my girlfriends. We bring the yarn in from the UK because
mm-hmm.
We only have about 5 sheep or so on the island, so they don't generate any yarn to speak of. So we bring the yarn in, and then my friend is dyeing it, and we're trying to replicate Bermuda colors.
Mm-hmm.
And the base is 80% merino, 10 cashmere, and 10 nylon.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it's our little claim to fame
yeah.
to have something that's done here in Bermuda, unique to Bermuda.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so it is popular.
So let's just clarify to everybody that you do have a bit of a winter, as we're experiencing
we
right now.
We do. We have, we're a subtropical island,
mm-hmm.
so we don't have the hot temperatures all year round. So winter time is sweater weather,
mm-hmm.
and not every day. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had 75 degree weather for about, I don't know how many weeks, so we started seeing people wearing their shorts and t-shirts,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't last too long. So sweaters, definitely a light shawl, scarves, mittens sometimes when you're riding a motorbike,
mm-hmm.
and you get a wind on you do have to bundle up a little bit.
Yeah.
Or a lot of Bermudians travel
yeah.
to colder temperatures. And Karis is knitting a hat, and I guess
mm-hmm.
she's going to wear it when she goes back to England.
Okay, yeah.
Summertime, a lot of the women, either they'll say, I put my knitting and crocheting away for a few months, or dishcloths.
Oh,
cotton tops, socks, something little. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I understand, being from Texas, we have the same problem.
Yes, you have the same problem, probably. Yes. Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, I appreciate your time. And
yes,
telling
I'm so
me
glad
a little bit
you
about
came
your store.
And that you came to Bermuda, and hopefully you'll visit another time.
Yeah, I hope so.
That would be nice.
It's
and
beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
It sounds like knitters in Bermuda are very friendly.
Just like everywhere you go.
That was nice, Casey.
It was fun.
How fun.
Yeah.
Okay. We can get into the knitting questions.
Okay. Hi, Stacy and Casey. I love that your names rhyme.
Casey and Stacy.
Mm-hmm. Is it okay to combine superwash and non-superwash yarn in the same project? I'm knitting an ear flap hat with regular merino yarn and have found the perfect color for the stripes and edge trim details, but it only comes in superwash yarn. I would always hand wash the hat. Will that prevent the parts with superwash yarn from growing more than the rest of the hat, or will just touching water cause the superwash to grow if it's so inclined? Extra credit question. How about mixing superwash and non-superwash yarn in a project where they're held and knit together throughout? Would that stop superwash expansion? Thanks for your wisdom, Mary from Portland.
Hi, Mary. Superwash expansion. That's what we're talking about here. And to answer the first part of your question, it's not okay to combine superwash and non-superwash yarn in the same project if you ever planned on washing that thing. Mm. If you never plan on washing it, it's good. I'm saying that because you should probably always wash things you're going to wear or use, whatever. And the question that you've asked, like if I promise to only hand wash it, will it be okay? The kind of the opposite is true with superwash yarns. Superwash yarns will have superwash expansion unless you machine wash it and dry it. Like, you have to machine wash it and dry it to keep it in shape. But if you machine wash and dry the non-superwash, you're going to end up with this felted thing. So really, in any project that you're working on, you want the washing instructions, if you're using different yarns, you want the washing instructions to be the same for all the yarns.
Right.
Yes. And then the second, the extra credit part was...
Well, if you basically answered it.
If she holds them together throughout, I'm imagining, yeah, it is the same thing. I'm imagining this thing, though. So you're holding two strands together, one superwash, one not superwash. You're knitting with it, and then you go to wash it, and the superwash does superwash expansion, and the regular yarn doesn't. And then you end up with these loops that are bigger on the piece, and these loops that are nice and snug in the way they're supposed to be. Mary, I think it's just you're asking for trouble.
Yeah. That's a good way of saying it.
Yes.
All right. Hi, Stacy and Casey. My name is Steph, and I'm from Bridgnorth in Shropshire in England. I have a question regarding the log cabin blanket. I have lots of leftover yarn in various weights. Can I mix together two lighter weight yarns to get a heavier weight yarn to knit up the sections for this? Thanks so much, Steph.
Hi, Steph. Yours is easy. The answer is yes. We'll go ahead and link to my log cabin blanket pattern, and I have a log cabin FAQ that answers a lot of questions like this. And if you can get something close to gauge in this pattern with leftover yarns that you have, you're holding it double or triple, or, you know, using a thicker or thinner weight of yarn, if you get something close to gauge, you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And just as long as you're not using superwash and non-superwash in the same project.
Okay. I was recently at an estate sale auction where a lot of 3,000 skeins and hanks of yarn was up for grabs, mostly merino but some acrylic and other fibers. Yes, I won that auction for a bargain of $100.
Holy cow.
My husband was thrilled. My question is...
Her husband was thrilled, LOL,
meaning he was not thrilled. My question is, I got 3 50-gram balls of yarn that I hadn't heard of and I can't seem to find out much about. It's called Grandioso by Wool Service. It's 78% mohair and 22% viscose. But what is viscose exactly? I knit and crochet constantly, but never had a yarn with viscose. Thank you for being my go-to knitting guru, Crystal from Crittenden, Kentucky.
Well, Crystal.
That's insane.
3,000 skeins of yarn.
That's a huge stash.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start with that. And she's like getting down into this one yarn with the viscose, and she's got to look at everything that she has. Okay, I did some research on viscose, and it's basically rayon. It's a textile fiber or fabric made from regenerated cellulose,
which you can get from anything.
What is that? What do you mean?
Like when we were talking about milk fibers or bamboo, or I was talking to a textile person and he said, you know, any kind of fiber, any kind of grass or anything that has a cellulose, you can create a fiber out of it,
okay.
A plant matter.
So viscose could be a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is a natural fiber then?
Not this, it's been processed enough so that it's not.
Because I would say, synthetic. If I asked you, is rayon a synthetic fiber?
Right.
Yes.
But bamboo yarn is basically a rayon.
Okay.
And I wanted to have him on the podcast, but he had a really strong accent and it was hard to understand him.
Oh, no. So you're...
That's why I learned something, but I haven't done an interview on this yet. So.
Where is he from?
I think he was Korean. I can't remember.
Okay.
Or Chinese. He was Chinese.
He was Asian.
He's
okay.
Asian, and he just has a really thick. He's a UT professor here at UT Austin, and I went by and met him, and then I was like, I can't have an interview because I can't understand what you're saying.
Oh no.
So anyway, but I did learn a little bit. But he basically, the cellulose is part of the plant or the part of the thing, and so you can make any kind of viscose fiber out of those items.
Okay.
From what I understand.
So this yarn that.
It basically turns like a bamboo. It basically turns it into a rayon.
Okay.
But a rayon can come from many different sources.
Wow, you do know a lot about this now.
I learned it from this professor.
Okay. You know, yeah, that's too bad that the interview didn't work out.
I know.
So Crystal has this mohair and viscose, basically rayon yarn. And so we can tell her it's a mohair and synthetic yarn, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And for most yarns that are mostly mohair, like this one is, it's usually good to use a carrier yarn with it, like use like just a regular worsted weight wool or whatever as you're knitting with it, because the mohair doesn't have a lot of structure to it. It's mostly just eyelash kind of.
Yeah. Hi, ladies. My grandmother and mother taught me knitting and crochet when I was about 8 years old, and I created items sporadically until I retired 13 years ago and started a nonprofit knitting charity group. We call ourselves Chicks with Sticks of Glenmont, New York. And thanks to your tutorial videos, Stacy, I have improved my skills tremendously and become a fearless knitter and leader. I approach every
new... she's like, she needs a Marvel movie. We were just talking about superhero movies. And she's a fearless knitter and leader.
Yes. I approach every new pattern or technique with confidence, knowing that I always have you as my mentor. If I need help, I thank you for always being available when I need you. My first question concerns toe-up socks with the afterthought heel. I don't know where to place the contrasting yarn to hold the heel stitches for picking up later. Do I measure the length of my foot and run the contrast yarn at that point? For example, my foot measures 9 inches, so I knit a 9-inch tube, then I knit the contrast yarn in place and continue up the cuff. My second question is about your musical theme, so we'll get back to that.
Okay. Hi, Jody.
This is Jody Mason from Glenmont, New York, a suburb of the state capital.
Okay, Jody, your question is about socks and afterthought heels and where do you place the thing for the afterthought heel? And I can't answer that in a general sense because different heels are different lengths. And that's kind of a funny thing to say, but in my patterns, I can't say that for sure because different weights of yarn have different lengths. The pattern needs to tell you. I wouldn't recommend winging it unless you're ready to rip out and redo it in case you messed up. You want to start the heel half of the heel length shy of the full length of your foot. That's a nutso thing to say on a podcast. It's not even a visual thing. I mean, it's like patterns have to tell you because the pattern designer will know exactly how many rows the length of the heel is, how many inches that is, and then they'll tell you exactly when to put in the afterthought heel. So I'm sorry I don't have a good answer. You've said so many nice things about me and then I fail you and I can't answer that question. Well, no, I didn't. I did answer it for
you. You answered it.
Okay.
Her second question is about your musical theme. Was it composed specifically for your channel? I love its catchy, bouncy melody. I think we talked about that before.
Yeah, it's actually royalty-free Apple song called Classics. I don't know. I don't edit my own videos. My video editor, my video producer found that song and popped it in there and it was cute and we've been using it for almost a decade now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes people email me or let me know, hey, I just heard your little YouTube song in this commercial or this video or this. They stole
other
your
podcasts.
Song. Yeah.
I think I heard it in another podcast once.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
It was in a documentary with nudists one time.
My mom says it reminds her of like the 1950s like movies they had to watch about like hygiene or whatever.
No. I like it better when people say it reminds them of Bewitched or something.
Yeah, it reminds me of Bewitched.
That is all we have time for today, Casey. Welcome back from Bermuda.
Thank you.
If people want to find you online, what do they do?
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
Okay. And if you want to find me, there is the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel as well as my website, verypink.com. And that is all we have for episode 90. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.